I don't want my children to grow up with an impression of like, I'm basically good. Jesus is really more for those folks. I got to wait till my life falls apart for the cross to make sense to me.
Yeah.
If that's how you're thinking about Christianity, you're actually missing it.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com.
This is Family Life Today.
So I'm looking at a children's book.
I love children's books.
I know you do.
Because we read all the time as our kids were growing up.
I'm going to read you the first page.
Oh, you are?
Well, I'm not going to do a voice or anything. Okay. But I'm going to, I mean, I remember when I got the PDF and I loved it from the start. It says, I sure hope you're wearing a belt because you're about to get the pants scared right off you. Get ready because I've got a story about some real bad guys. Now, I know I didn't do
sucked
a good
us
job
right
reading.
In. Yeah, that's right.
But we've got the author right here, Jimmy Needham, sitting there with his wife Kelly. And have you ever written a children's book before?
This is my first kid's book to write.
But
yeah.
Can I out you though that you have sketched out kids' books before?
I have.
Oh.
It has been an interest of yours.
Well,
since the day
you have five kids.
I'm 11 years old in my inside. So yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which is interesting, Jimmy, because you're a seminary student, yeah. You're a pastor, you're a recording artist. Yeah. You kind of have your hands in a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But why a children's book?
I love deep theology. I love, like you said, I'm in seminary, I'm doing all that. I love that, but I'm also ridiculous.
Is this true? Kelly's shaking
100%.
Her head.
100%.
What do you mean ridiculous? Why are you shaking your head?
Go watch our podcast and you will find out very quickly.
I've watched it. It's fun
I
to
just
watch.
Love, he I love a, yeah. to play.
Yes.
I
true.
Love fun. And it's actually been such a great outlet for me writing this book because it does allow me to scratch all of my theological itches while also being as absurd as I want to be and nobody yes. tells me I can't.
Yeah.
So it was fun to explore that sort of side of things and go, oh, I can have a pirate with hooks on his hands and feet, and I can talk about, you know.
Which has really been a long time dream of yours, to combine your love of humor and silliness
yeah.
with deep, meaningful theology.
I know.
It really not, has
it's
been
it's
something.
It's an odd pairing, yeah. people, but we're going to see if it works.
Well, it works. I'm yeah. telling you right now.
I laughed out loud at the pirate with his not just one hook,
yeah.
but his two hooks, and then him and his feet,
too. Two on his feet. He's got four hooks. It's unfortunate, but, you know, 'tis a pirate's life, so, yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear your backstory on it, because when I'm reading it, I'm laughing, because
yeah.
your humor comes in. There's these little clips. That,
yeah.
You're like, where am I going? But the theology's rich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know,
yeah.
kids are going to pick up both, and the graphics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The illustrator did a great
phenomenal.
Job.
Phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. He did.
I got to be honest. When I got it, I'm like, kid's book.
Yeah.
Not
and
me.
Then I'm like, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is not like every kid's
it's
book.
Different.
This
it's different. It's a different sort of take on things, which has been really fun for me. I love different.
So talk about real bad guys. What's the theology?
I'm a parent. So I'm constantly in conversations about really important things with my kiddos, you
which,
know?
Who range from five kids between the ages of 1 and 13.
1 and 13.
So
I'm in all
range.
The conversations.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
now.
That's right.
We're just hitting all of it. This particular book started, I think there was a conversation I remember having with one of my daughters. We were watching something. It was like a news broadcast or something. And the story was about a criminal, he'd done something bad and the police were looking for him or whatever. And you know, you've got the folks on screen, you have the officer of the case and all that. And I remember her pointing to the suspect and saying something like, Dad, is that the bad guy? She's trying to sort out who the characters are
yeah.
in this story. Like,
yeah.
who am
that's
I supposed to...
That's true. Kids always yeah. distinguish who's the good guy,
that's right.
that's
who's
right.
the bad guy.
Who am I rooting for?
Yes.
Who do I want to lose?
Yes.
That whole thing.
They
and
ask
she,
about it in movies.
Of course,
right?
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know who's
which
on
means,
the naughty list.
And they say bad guy a lot.
They do.
Who's the bad
yeah.
guy? Who's the bad
so
guy?
She, so who's the... Is that the bad guy? And I felt immediately a couple things in me. The first was, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to sort out the characters, yeah. and you know. But I also... As a Christian, I know that answer is more complex
yeah.
than just he's the bad guy. Because my Bible reveals that he's the bad guy and everybody else on that screen is the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm the bad, and you asking the question, you're the, because all of us, you know, at our core, we all have sin. We've all rejected God. Apart from Christ, we're all the bad guy. Yeah. But how do I say this to an 8-year-old? You know, how do I make that make sense to her? Something that's really important that she needs to know, but and that I don't just want to gloss over with, oh, yeah, that's the bad guy. Mm. Because when you do that, you're reinforcing all the stereotypes. It's like, oh, the scary-looking people, the people who do the outwardly criminal things, those are the people who are bad, and therefore, those are the people who need a savior. Mm. But what about my sweet daughter who is at the top of her class in school, who keeps all the rules, who's nice and obedient? Will she ever be able to see her need for a savior if she doesn't realize she's on that same list as the guy on the screen? Mm-hmm. So that's what started this book for me, was going, I want to be able to help you sense that we all need the same savior. Mm-hmm. And so that's that was kind of the genesis of this this story. That's
really good. Did you read the book? I know that you've read the book to the kids. What did they think?
They love it. Thank the Lord, because that's they're my target audience. So, yeah. And the main character, Millie, is she's sort of based on my second oldest daughter. And I thought, as I was starting to daydream about this, I thought, well, how do you talk about this in a way that'd be interesting for kids? The first thought that occurred to me was, it'd be really funny if all the stereotypical bad guys that we think about who are would be on that screen, what if they came to life and corrected her theology? What if she was getting it wrong, like my daughter was? What if the nefarious fellas were the ones who...
Teaching her
right theology. So that's what happened. I wrote a story where it's got a gangster and a pirate and a robber and a mad scientist and Dracula's in it. And the book begins just like you read a second ago where she's...
But you need to read it.
Well, I was going to say, at least like you have Dracula.
Yeah.
Like, when I first saw, oh, there's a Dracula, would parents have a pushback, you know, to that?
Sure.
He's not scary in a, a like, oh, I don't want to look kind of way.
No.
He's kind of funny.
Yeah, there's really nothing scary about the book. And that's kind of the funny thing about it. All these guys who you should be terrified by are actually sweet goofballs who are who actually have some really robust theology. So it turns out. So
I have to hear, like, you probably have an accent. When you read it to your kids.
Can you read a page or
Kelly,
two?
Kelly, who's his best accent of these characters?
Oh,
I love the mad scientist.
Yeah, I'm trying
that's
to see
a favorite of
if
mine.
I can pull this up. Here we go. So she's introducing
he's
her bad guys.
Character.
Yeah. She's introducing her bad guys. And Millie goes, "Meet the wicked Captain Hooks." Right? This is Millie talking. "That's right. Plural. You think having one hook on your hand is freaky? How about having them on both hands?" And then he goes, "Yarr, and two on me feet. It be a hardship, but 'tis a pirate's life." And it's ridiculous.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Are you going to put this on Audible?
We're actually making a whole video of me reading the book and all the characters with all the costumes.
You're gonna wear the costumes.
I've already bought them all in the house.
I've seen them all. It's wonderful.
It was my favorite trip to Amazon online I've ever had. I just went nuts.
Who's the mad scientist? He doesn't seem like he'd be a bad guy, but he is.
Yeah, he is a bad guy. Yeah, he. Well, you know, it's sort of that classic, you know, guy scheming with his poisons and, you know, in a laboratory. But he's actually the one who introduces this whole topic to Millie of like, hey, what if being bad isn't really how you thought? What if God looks more at the inside than the outside? You know, and that's really the punchline of the book is the way I distinguish it is to talk about outside bad versus inside bad. You know, that
which was genius to me.
Well, anyone can see that, like, it's easy for me to spot, like, if you're holding an axe, like, and, you know, and you're running around like a mad person, it's like, yeah, that guy's probably bad. But like, what about a sweet looking innocent, you know, girl? Or what about, like, God sees past that. So at one point, you know, they say, bring out the X-ray machine. That's the mad scientist. And they put it in front of her and they go, hey, look, these two guys, they bring out an inmate. And then actually the little Easter egg in this book is the other person standing next to the inmate is me, that the artist drew into the book. And I look like a normal guy, and the inmates in the black and white stripes and, you know, looking like a bad guy. And then we turn on the x-ray, but what do you see inside? It's all thoughts about me, wanting me to be glorified. I'm more important than God, all of that. It's an ugly truth, but it's the truth that the Bible reveals about what all of our hearts look like. And when Millie realizes it, she goes, so I guess we're all bad guys then. And she's lamenting, I guess there's no home. And I think the gangster says, well, not all of us are bad.
Wait, you have to say it like the gangster.
Well, we're not all bad, Missy. What she discovers is we are all bad, but there has been only one real good guy. Mm-hmm. And he died in our place, and he died so that God would treat us like real good guys, even though we aren't. If I have one concern, and I feel this as a pastor, and I feel this as a parent to kids, is not that these people are going to go off and live wild lives. My biggest concern is that they're going to live basically good lives and convince themselves that they don't need a savior.
That's right.
And that they're okay. I'm basically a good person. It's like, this is how the Pharisees saw themselves. Mm-hmm. And those were the people that our Lord had the harshest words for. Mm-hmm. I don't want my children to grow up with an impression of like, I'm basically good. Jesus is really more for those folks. I got to wait till my life falls apart for the cross to make sense to me.
Yeah.
If that's how you're thinking about Christianity, you're actually missing it. Mm-hmm. I wrote this because I don't want to make little Pharisees. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to see their deep need for a savior. And it's amazing when you see that, not only does the cross become beautiful to you, but we become people who stop looking down our nose at other people too, because we realize, just like all these bad guys in the book, I'm on the same plane as you. We need the same mercy from God. And man, I would so want that for my kids and any child to read that.
You're right. There's a part of us thinks, if you put the x-ray machine on me,
you won't see that much stuff
compared to this dude.
Sure.
I'm better. But I love how you wrote Jesus was the only person, Jesus was the only person who was good on the outside and on the inside.
That's right.
What a turn in this book for a 5-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old to go, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
The gospel just jumps off the page.
Yeah.
Well, I also like how you take Millie on a journey of her discovering the things that has done.
Yeah.
Walk us through a couple of those. Do you remember
some of her discoveries? So those might be the most important pages of the book. You know, she's going, oh, okay, so like when I buy gifts for my friends and give it to them, but I'm only doing it so that they'll give me a gift later. It's like, okay, is the giving of a gift a bad thing? No. Anybody would look at that and they would say, good for you. That's amazing. But what's happening on the inside of her? She's doing it because she wants herself to be celebrated. Or when I sing loud at church, but only so other people would hear me and tell me how good a singer I am. You know, it's like, if you saw somebody who's just pouring their heart out in worship on a Sunday morning, you'd go, be more like that person.
Yeah.
But we don't know what's happening in the heart. Again, I want to expose the readers to a new category of like, you can be doing the right things. Again, the Pharisees did so many of the right things. Right. They prayed the prayers. They gave tithes of all that they got. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector story, right? I fast twice a week. I give tithes. But he was not justified before God because he was doing it for himself.
Well, I think the temptation as parents is to actually affirm this goodness in our kids. There's, a strong temptation when our kids come to us, like, no, you're good. No, you're doing great. No, and we should be celebrating them. That's part of our role as parents, is to be encouragers, to celebrate the wins. But as Christian parents, it's also our job to evangelize our kids. They do not come out the womb saved. They don't. We all know that. But the first part of the gospel narrative is this piece we're talking about that you wrote about. It's, you need to see your need. And that starts with seeing motive. For most of our kids, it's going to start with motive. They're probably not going to be the kids. If you're listening to this program, it's like, they're probably not the kids. They're doing outward bad things. You're probably training them well. They're probably moral. They're probably learning those things. But they still need to see, I'm motivated by self. And seeing that in every action is what's going to lead them to the cross. And you being able to admit as a parent, me too. I'm only seeing change in that motive because I'm going to Jesus, not because I'm trying harder.
Yeah.
One of the things I've been intrigued, it's different being a grandparent because I'm observing. It gives, I think in parenting, you're just in it so much.
Yeah.
In grandparenting, you're observing sometimes like, oh, that's so interesting. Because sometimes when I'm with them, they like to hear stories where I have failed or I have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did you do?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And so I realize like, it's good for me to share my weaknesses and how I have sinned and what I have done with it. Mm-hmm. Why do you guys think that is with your five kids? Like, when you have failed.
Yeah. Well, and you're right. Our kids like the same thing.
They do.
Yeah. I think it reminds them you're human.
Yeah.
Now you're relatable.
You're not
some unachievable standard that's like, well, I'll never be like mom and dad. I might as well abandon the whole project, you know? It's like, we try to, you know, one thing we try to do a lot with our kids, and we have plenty of opportunities to because we're sinners, is just repent to them a lot.
Yes.
Like the other day, 2 days ago, I was with my son, and he had done something or other, and I was so angry in my moment of disciplining him. I was able to control myself, but not to the degree I liked. And so I came back to him that night and just owned it. I was like, I was disciplining you out of anger, and I think that was unkind to you. It didn't please the Lord. I'm sorry. I hope you can forgive me. He's five, you know, but I want him to have a ton of memories of his dad being able to go, I failed. I am not perfect. There's only one real good guy. It's Jesus. It's not me. If that's one of the takeaways he has when he's 18, leaving the house, it's like, my dad repented a lot to me. It's like, well, I'm really happy for that.
That's
you know?
Big.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and you're showing them the way into the kingdom when you do that, because that's how we come to Jesus in repentance and faith. But if they've never seen anybody repent, they don't know what that looks like. It's just words.
And I think, too, as a parent, I did that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I would continue to beat myself up.
Mm.
It's almost like the gospel had no effect, where I repented before Jesus, I apologized to my kids, went to them and owned it, but then I would continue this barrage of, you are failing, you're a bad parent, and that's when the enemy can kind of slip in, but it's the beauty of the gospel. Receive it.
Yeah.
The price has been paid for us, and we can rest in that. And I'll say this, my kids remember the repentance more than what I actually did.
Yeah.
I prayed that too, Lord. Let them forget all the ways I messed up, Jesus. There are so many. And they do a lot of times. And so I would say receive his grace as a parent. Make sure you apologize. Talk to Jesus about it. Tell him the truth.
Yeah.
Figure out what's going on in your heart. But man, give yourself grace because he does.
Yeah, that's right.
He does. Yeah.
That's right.
And I love at the end, you have conversation starters. So you literally give parents some questions to say,
a little
okay,
bit of fodder for discussion.
And they're good. Yeah. I mean, you're going to have a pretty deep conversation with a 3 or 5 or 8-year-old.
Let's do a question.
Yeah.
Did you see one that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, in the story, Millie learns about outside bad and inside bad. What do these terms mean?
Mm.
How are they different from each other?
Yeah.
I mean, you're digging into
we talk about that
sin.
In seminary.
When we've had that conversation a little bit with our own kids, and it's interesting that within our 5 children, there are some that are more outside bad kids, right? And some that are more inside bad kids.
Yeah.
So we've got a few of them that are really good at following the rules, but are really manipulative, right?
Mm.
So it's like they can follow the mom and dad's rules and kind of stay in line and not get as many of those discipline moments. And then there are others that are just wild and fearless, and I'm just going to do what I want. And the ones that are more obedient on the outside can tend to have this like pride about it. So we've had really good conversations with some of our kids, trying to help them see inside bad isn't always breaking the rules.
Yeah.
It's why you're
doing
what you're doing.
It's why you keep the rules.
Oh. Why you keep the rules. That you're actually the same as this sibling of yours that you kind of look down your nose at. It's like, yeah, they have outside bad. It's different. We can recognize it's different. But
you have a question that goes along with that. I'm thinking this would be so fun to have kids and talk about these questions.
Yeah.
You can probably only do one question at the dinner table.
That's right.
But one question even for a night. Here's one of the questions. It can be tempting, this is what you're talking about, to look down on others who have more outside bad than us, like kids who get in trouble at school or siblings who might not obey mom and dad as well as you. Mm. How can seeing your own inside bad change how you treat other people?
Yeah.
Guys, that's just deep. We can ask that every day in our marriage.
Well, I was just going to say, that's not just parenting.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a marriage thing.
Yeah.
Because we do the same thing in marriage. When you said, you know, some of your kids are better inside outside, I thought, what's Jimmy? Be better outside bad or inside bad?
I've done it all. I try to do both. I try to get a little bit of outside, a little bit of inside. We just keep it, yeah, mixed. Yeah,
I tend to be a rebel, so yeah.
I was
going to
say, I definitely coming into marriage, I'm the inside bad person. You are the outside
bad person. Yeah, that's Dave and I too, for sure. Yeah,
well, but what's interesting, and I think this is related to this conversation, you've had such a big effect on me in a positive way that as my pride was being exposed in some areas of my life, some spiritual pride, especially early on in our marriage, I felt so distraught. Like this picture I had of myself as this good Christian woman, right, is getting destroyed. And I'm grieving that. And I remember talking to you about it one day and going, I thought the water in my glass was clean and now it's all dirty. I'm so sad. And your response to me at one point was, well, my glass fell over and all the water poured out a long time ago. That's why I'm okay with it. Because I think I was asking for advice, like, how do I deal with this? But really, at an early age in your life, and then throughout the way that God saved you, your own personal testimony and story, you've been so thoroughly convinced of your badness from the moment I met you, that it's actually helped you understand the gospel more, receive it more, and live it out more than I was able to as a church kid who like had all the rule following together. And so it's I'm excited about this book because it's Christian parents who are going to buy it. And those are the kids that need that truth because it will set them free. It's very counterintuitive to tell your kids they're bad to set them free, but it will produce more lasting freedom. I've seen that in you, and it's really changed me as well.
And it's written in such a fun, compelling, draws everybody in. Well done. We're always looking for great children's book. Yeah. And when they're deeper in theology, that is a bonus. The thing I love about you guys is you're such fans of each other.
I'm a big fan of this girl right
here. I can tell.
I'm a big fan.
Both ways. Well done.
One of the defining things in my life lately has been the grace that God has given me to see myself not as a good person, but a bad person who needs to be set free from my badness. And it's been grace that God has given me to see that. I love this. And I love, like Kelly said, the counterintuitiveness of telling your kids that they're bad. It doesn't sound very much like what we communicate in our culture today, but this could be the very thing that sets them free. I'm Shelby Abbott, and you've been listening to Dave and Ann Wilson with Jimmy and Kelly Needham on Family Life Today. Jimmy has written a book called Real Bad Guys, a story about good versus bad and the way God sees it. You can get your copy right now of Jimmy's book by going online to familylifetoday.com or clicking on the link in the show notes. Or feel free to give us a call at 800-358-6329 to request your copy. Again, that number is 800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And even though it's mid-September, the truth is February is just around the corner. Why am I telling you about February right now? Well, February 8th, we are setting sail for the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise. That's right. It goes from February 8th through the 15th, where you can join a community of like-minded couples and really entrench yourself in a journey designed to rejuvenate your marriage, but more importantly, draw you closer to Christ. There are limited spaces still available, but they are limited, so head over to familylifetoday.com and click on the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise banner. There you can secure your reservation and get ready to embark on a week of relaxation, renewal, and romance. Again, you can head over to familylifetoday.com. Just click on the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise banner. So as we approach the end of September, it might be weird to think about it, but Halloween is coming up soon. And depending on how you think about that, it can be a great opportunity to reach your neighbors and your neighborhood for Christ. Well, Jimmy and Kelly Needham have some advice to help you with that based on a few things that they have done. So you can watch a video about that, read an article, and download a specific playbook that they've developed. You can head over to familylifetoday.com or click on the link in the show notes to get all those resources. Now, coming up next week, if you couldn't join us for the last Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise, don't worry. Brian and Stephanie Carter are going to be here to talk about their insights on building and restoring trust in your marriage. It's a message from the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise last year. That's coming up next week. We hope you'll join us. On behalf of David Ann Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.